Welcome to this programme in our podcast of highlights from recent discussions in NCSL in Dialogue, Talk to Learn's online community for national education debate, accessed by more than 16,000 school leaders every month. All comments in this programme are represented by the voices of actors.
What more can we do to inspire unmotivated and disaffected children to learn? How can we persuade parents to play a larger part in instilling social responsibility in the citizens of the future? And is it too late to turn back the tide of celebrity culture? In the discussion, Our Children, Time to Talk, school leaders homed in on the importance of recognising the individual needs of unmotivated and disaffected pupils, helping parents to realise the importance of raising citizens of the future, and instructing youngsters how to care about the planet and each other. Personalised learning was the way forward to meet the needs of all children, said Jan Elliott, deputy head teacher to junior and infant school near Bradford. But it was constrained by the one-size-fits-all approach demanded by the government's literacy and numeracy guidelines.
I work in a very good primary school where our results are good. Ofsted are due to come back to us soon. What are they really wanting to see? Innovation or straitjacketing to conform to national initiatives?
Deborah Coad, curriculum area leader for English at a secondary school in Surrey, said some children from well-off families were not motivated to learn because they were used to being handed everything on a plate.
While we consider the important step of narrowing the social division, we also need to consider the very different needs of those who may be victims of the cash-rich, time-poor society many of them live in.
Jacqueline Makiewicz, head of business studies at Sir Henry Floyd Grammar School in Buckinghamshire, suggested disaffected children should be able to learn in the workplace.
We have children who do not like the whole school ethos, and I worry that we do them no good by insisting they sit GCSEs rather than allowing them to do something more vocational.
Karen Deakin, assistant principal at a special school in the West Midlands, described how her below-average 11 to 18-year-olds had individualised timetables, a named co-educator, and a learning for life officer, with just four attending school full-time.
The community aspect is such a learning opportunity for these young people. To be spoken to pleasantly is often a new experience. We know every family individually. We get involved in all aspects of their children's lives. And to support the families, we also do respite at weekends and in the holidays.
Another school leader said the best way to help youngsters was to improve their social and communication skills.
I would say that the emphasis in the early years of primary school should be firmly on these softer, much harder to measure, skills and the related understanding.
But one contributor made two different recommendations.
Proper environmental education, covering more than just a diagram on global warming, teach them real sustainability and a sense of respect and spirituality. I highly recommend philosophy for children. Teach them how to learn, and then the desire to improve will follow.
And that completes this programme. Thanks for listening, and don't forget you can subscribe to receive future programmes in this series of Talk to Learn highlights at www.ncsl.org.uk/online communities.
Talk to Learn has over 100,000 members. If you'd like to join, visit www.ncsl.org.uk/online communities.